28, but older relationships. It was fun. Yeah. Fun. It was great to see him, talk to him. Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing those stories. And for those of you who didn't make it, here's how we'd love for you to see those kind of events. So as shepherds of this flock, and then I'm also part of a group that's kind of shepherds, coaches, encourages the whole M28 circle. There's 9 or so of us that are involved with that conversation. And what we'd love for you to understand is this experience that we have each Sunday when we gather together as his people, as Bigger's Gate, that is not church. That is the gathering of the church on a regular basis to do a few things, and we try to do that, to encourage each other, connect, pray for each other, orient towards worship and reverence, and you know, stimulating one another's faith, remember what the Lord has done, saying over and over again, who are we, whose are we, in this regular rhythm. But also, it is a family, and as we come together, we enjoy seeing each other from week to week, and we have little conversations, and we share a lot of life. Not everybody all the same, but most of us in the room have overlap with at least one other person in the room outside of this gathering in some form or another. And what we would love for you to understand is, as the shepherds of this, we also see the need to help especially your kids. But I think, as you heard a bunch of older folks say, to stay established in this larger identity, who are we, whose are we, as a tribe or a people living out certain values. And when we invite you to that, it's not, look at this, here's the 10 reasons you go. It's really just, this is what the family is doing, and we think it's really important part of your rhythm, of your spiritual diet, of your spiritual experiences, to have those kind of festivals. If you can compare it to an Old Testament festival where you gather together and you spend a few days away from the farm animals and the field work and go, I'm just going to focus and listen. And a lot of the young families, they probably heard very few messages because they're little kids and they run around. I agree that my favorite part was just watching not just the little girls dancing, but all the kids just wrestling and having fun. And it was just like the way it was set up, that was very easy to do and not be a distraction. And you could still hear, people could sit there. And so you saw this, every facet of faith being expressed, including parents just trying to care for the kids, but doing it in the context of this is my identity, these are my people. And to really begin to ask the Lord, is this something that has value to you? Because we really think we wouldn't do those conferences. A lot of conferences get put on, hand to God, to make money. If they didn't make money, they wouldn't do it. Well, this doesn't make money. We lose money because we think it's really important to gather together as his people. So in the future, just love for you to own that. And say, this is my people, and it's important. And those relationships, those long-term opportunities, were one of the cool things that came out of it. Lots of fun things, but one of the cool things that came out of it is we just made a quick announcement. I think John made a quick announcement when I was sharing. I wasn't one of the main sessions, but kind of a split session about the Marseille trip. We probably picked up 8 or 10 people that are thinking about going on that trip. Now, they may not all go, and that's okay. But there's this opportunity now to build relationships with them and to have what we're doing in Marseille become a part of someone else's story and have this larger cooperation so it's not quite as isolated. So those are these amazing opportunities when we're in those conversations. It's like perspectives. You meet people who think like, I hope you think, about the nations and about ministry and the kingdom coming to the whole earth in places like perspectives. And so when we gather together, it's an amazing opportunity. Just encourage us to take advantage of those and not see them as an option. If you are a parent, or you're planning on being a parent, or you were a parent, I'm talking about actively parenting, you set the table and then the kids go, yeah, I'm not going to eat that. And they go, you know, they go to the neighbor's house and grab dinner there. You go, no, I have a plan here. And this vegetable is a part of my plan for your life. And we just love for us to understand that as we have these rhythms to step into them. A big takeaway, I'm not going to go very, just a couple more minutes here. I shared a message called The Heart of the Matter and all these amazing testimonies. And I don't even know if it was intended to be. I don't think that was the question. But the theme was identity. And we talk a lot about who am I, whose am I, refreshing ourselves. But here's my question. Do you Does the identity that Jesus has imparted to you, the new identity, do you own it? Or does it feel cumbersome? Does it feel like it's being, Nathan, I think two or three times you said, it's not, we're not looking at the bolt-ons, but we're looking at the center of things. Does your identity in Christ, does it feel like it's the center of you? Because as I was listening, I prepared a message. I had no idea that I had to upload my PowerPoint a week ago, and I did it 2 minutes before I was supposed to start speaking, so if I my lack of technology. But as I was sitting there listening to the message right before I was going up next, I realized I hadn't tied it to identity. I hadn't tied what I was doing, and that wasn't the question I was asked. I didn't have to, but it seemed like I was going to miss an opportunity if I didn't somehow tie this to identity. So as I'm kind of listening, and we had just a short break, I completely rewrote my message with slides that already existed, so I had to kind of mind warp it back into it. What I think I heard coming from the stage, all those people who are continuing and living lives of risk and still making those big investments, still trying to do great things for God, even in our old age, and when we're, you know, our hair is graying and you know, everything's decaying, are we still Calebs? Are we still willing to go do things? Is what I think I understood for a moment, maybe for the first time, the difference between stories like that, and there certainly that could be true of Rainy and Susan. That can be true of people all over the world who are trying to stay at what Jesus has asked them to do. And those who struggle with that is how well they own a gospel identity, a kingdom identity. If that feels like, if it feels like it to your teens, that you're trying to kind of force behavior or beliefs into them, and it keeps kind of bouncing off them, and you can tell by how they respond. Because they don't do those crazy hard things or take those risks or make those investments if they don't have that identity. And it becomes a religion. It becomes something bolted on rather than something that flows out of them. You do not have the stories that we are hearing the story of Rainy and Susan or others that have spoken on here or perspectives. You don't have those stories without them internalizing that gospel identity. And what occurred to me is, why don't they? What is it that keeps us from making that Jesus identity, that kingdom identity, something that when you push me, my flesh is going to go, no, 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 no. But my identity is going to go, but I have to. It is who I am. Not I have to impress you. Not I have to because God will get ticked. I must because it is who I am. What is that difference? What keeps that from happening? And I think there's a variety of reasons. And so that's, I'm just going to tee that up. Oh, hopefully, I don't know if we have a plan for next week, but I'd love to. He's been just slacking. He went to faith camp, then he took the week off. It's just like, just. So we haven't had a chance to connect. But no, a well-deserved rest. I'm glad he got a little time to hang out. But we haven't connected exactly on the plan for the next couple weeks. So I'd love for you to think about that, because you're probably frustrated at some place, either in your own life or one of your kids' lives, or something that doesn't feel like it's working, and you're not figuring it out. Well, what's going on? Why is that so hard to live in an identity? There's a number of reasons, and I'd like to explore that, and then maybe give you some, just consider some of the tools that you already know about but maybe aren't implementing, maybe some other things to consider. Because if we keep trying to bolt the gospel identity, Christ identity onto our kids, they'll keep saying, no, we're just handing them a religion. If we keep just trying to bolt them onto ourselves, we'll just feel defeated and beat up. Until somehow it takes root in the center place. And I'd love to explore that next week. So you can think about it, pray about it. Let me pray. Lord, we are so grateful. We thank for Randy and Susan, their ministry. We do want to be partnering with them in faith and remembering them and caring about them. Thank you for the Jordanian people and all those in that region around them, the refugees, every person they serve and love and care about. I do pray that somehow you would, your church would be revolutionized in care. I don't know why in our own country why it's a segregated hour on Sunday morning that blacks don't worship with whites or Asians or Koreans, Chinese, whatever it might be, all the ethnicities. We all separate, and not because of language, but because of somehow it doesn't feel right. I know it's true in Hindu nations. It's hard for people in Christ to deal with the differences in caste system, etc. It's hard. Those are hard things to break out of. God, would you grant mercy in Randy and Susan's world, that those who are there as expats, those who are there from different cultures, that somehow the unity of the Spirit would reign, that you would break through. And the very thing that you said was our power, our ability to love one another and to be one with one another, would bring power to the testimony of the workers there in the Jordanian church. I don't know how you'd do that if you're not walking in unity. I don't know how you could expect to have any power based on what you've promised and said. So I pray that. Pray for God's speed, that you'd grant them good health, that you'd protect their family in every way, Lord, you would fulfill your promise to fill up all that's on their mind as they seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray that for us as well. Pray we would just be evaluating. Are we comfortable in our identity? Do we even know what it is? Is it attractive to us? And I thank you for the opportunity to walk with people historically who have owned and embraced that identity, and it just doesn't go away. You can't shake it. It remains. So bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.